Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to talk about this because this is so important. This petition, and this was available, I believe, on whitehouse.gov. It's called We the People. And any citizen around the country could go ahead and put a petition in so that anything they want the White House to take a look at. Mm-hmm. Well, the required, and this is the Blaze reporting this, by the way, the required amount in order for the White House to take a look at it, you needed at least 100,000 signatures. 100. Mm-hmm. Once it reached that benchmark, then I guess the government felt that was, enough of a consensus to say, hey, enough people are concerned about this. We need to take a look at whatever this issue may be. Well, in regards to labeling and declaring the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group, they not only received 100,000 signatures, but they received 213,146 signatures, twice, double the amount. And the answer from the White House was no. No, they would not declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist group or organization.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Wish I was, but I'm not. But this is important to understand because this is something that we've kind of been sharing already here on VFN radio program, the VFN TV program. And by the way, I don't necessarily recommend that you, put your information in these websites, because you're putting your name, your email address, all these different things, and it's like, is it really being set up to hear Americans' concerns so that they can be addressed, or, is there something else going on, and it's something that we need to think about and consider and just say, but it's important that we go into a little bit more detail and talk about who is the Muslim Brotherhood, because you can receive so much kind of information in the air, but if you don't kind of, understand and pause for a moment, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And if you remember, and we've talked about this before, but you may be just joining in, tuning in, or you may have even forgotten, but, the President Obama went to Egypt. His first international speech was in Cairo University, in Cairo, Egypt, when the president then at the time was Mubarak. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even invited to this speech. The president of Egypt wasn't invited to the speech.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, you got to understand, when the president travels to another country, the president of the United States, like everything stops.
Kind of a big deal. When
the most powerful man in the free world, well, according to Forbes, that's Putin now for the last 2 years. When the
free world?
Okay, yes. When the most powerful man, let's just say that, from the most powerful country shows up, I think that everything stops.
Right.
And there's many countries that the president's Air Force One never lands, never touches base. And so you would think that that's a big deal, but he didn't come, being the president, Hosni Mubarak, he didn't come because the Muslim Brotherhood was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And the president empowered those, folks to come on in. And really interesting, the things that occurred after that, because then, he left, the speech was over with, and if you remember that, it was in that speech that he said that he felt it was his responsibility, and I'm paraphrasing, but we have all this related for you on the torch in detail, that it was his responsibility to defend negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they may be exist. And as a president of the United States, that's not necessarily his responsibility. His responsibility is to defend the Constitution, keep America safe, protect our borders. Maybe as an individual, he can feel that, but not as the president of the United States. And so, shortly after that, there was an uprising. I mean, go figure. Now, you understand that Mubarak was, there for quite, we're talking about decades, I believe almost 40 years, but decades there, as the president, the leader of Egypt. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's an uprising, and lo and behold, there's an election, and guess who's in power? The Muslim Brotherhood. Things that make you go, So they're in power, and then because President Morsi was elected. Now, what was interesting, in just that 1 year of being elected, some really serious things happened in Egypt. One of the things that happened is all the Coptic Christians were being attacked. They were being persecuted. Mm-hmm. Their church buildings were being torched and lit on fire. And during that process, the Egyptian constitution was actually suspended. They suspended the Egyptian constitution. And again, just things that just make you go, hmm. And they were trying to implement some sort of, you know, like Sharia law and trying to get that passed. Well, on the one-year anniversary to the date, we're giving you context because you understand that, the White House just said no after receiving 215,000 signatures from American citizens, double the amount of required signatures for this situation to be looked at. They said no, they would not declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. And we're just looking at what has happened and what has transpired. So a year to the date that Morsi was elected, which is a Muslim Brotherhood representative, to office, Egyptians show up, I mean, in massive, massive numbers. I believe, and reportedly, it has been the largest demonstrations ever to get the Muslim Brotherhood out of office. And if you remember during those times, and we've covered this on VFN TV, they were holding signs not supportive of our president. They were saying that we like the United States, but President Obama, you know, is supporting terrorism, you know. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Where did that come from? And what happened here? And,
the dots connect.
And yeah, like what's going on?
See that.
And this is just with the Egyptian people. We're not in front. This is what they said. This was their signs. This is easily identifiable and researched. I mean, it's there. This is what they did. And these were their words. And so, you know, Morsi was removed, and now they had a, you know, new president and things of that nature, you know, continued to develop, and it, you know, took back their nation. But it's really interesting because when you look at that and you say, what happened? This is not just Egyptians that are saying this. It's not just ordinary citizens that are concerned. When we get back from this break, you're going to hear from a congresswoman who raised these same concerns some years ago. It's not just 215,000 ordinary citizens that you may want to dismiss, which you can't because this is a country of we the people, and we elect representatives to represent us, so their voice does matter and does count. But we're going to let you hear from a congresswoman about her thoughts regarding the Muslim Brotherhood and who they really are. We were talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, about this petition that was signed by citizens, your fellow countrymen, your neighbor, your maybe your boss, your employer, your colleague, you know, your family member. The benchmark for these petitions to be looked at, which the White House did set up, they wanted to hear we the people, they wanted to hear your voice. And the threshold was 100,000 signatures. And if whatever your concern was, if it received that benchmark, that it crossed that threshold, then they would take a look at it. They would say, okay, this merits or warrants enough, you know, there's enough folks signing on, some things are happening here, that we'll take a look at it. Well, they had over 215,000 signatures, double what was required. And what they wanted to do there was to be able to acknowledge and, you know, put on notice that declare the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group, as a terrorist organization. And the White House came back and said, no, they will not, no. And so we've been kind of given the history a little bit of just the Muslim Brotherhood, of what they've been doing and what's been going on. But, you know, it's not just the citizens, it's not just what happened in Egypt. But, you know, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, she raised some concerns not too long ago regarding the Muslim Brotherhood and Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State's assistant, Uma, whose father was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and whose mother was reportedly a member of the Sisterhood. Her father allegedly has passed away and is no longer alive. But Michelle Bachmann's concern, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's concern was, you know, has this person been vetted? Have they been vetted at all? And the truth is that she says, no, they haven't been vetted. Uma has not been vetted, and she didn't understand that because she's a congresswoman. She has to be vetted. Mm-hmm. Her family has to be vetted. They need to know, you know, who she is, who you're related to, what's going on in your family. What ties do you have? Because you're going to have access to government things, government documents. I mean, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at that time is recorded as the most traveled Secretary of State, and she went to Egypt, Middle East, and all these countries. And right alongside of her was Uma, her assistant. Mm-hmm. And so these are some concerns. Well, we continue. Get my notes up here. We continue that with Michelle Bachmann, what she wrote on her own website. And this was back some time ago. We're going to make sure that this is related for you. But this was posted on her website December 18th, 2013. So almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. This is what Michelle Bachmann put on her website. This is Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, former presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann. And this is what she wrote. In October 2003, the former counterterrorism czar for both President Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, Richard Clark, testified before the U.S. Senate that virtually every Islamic terrorist organization in the world had in common membership and inspiration from the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm. Not only has virtually every leader of Al-Qaeda passed through the ranks of the Muslim Brotherhood, but several of the 9/11 hijackers, including ringleader Mohammed Atta, known to have been radicalized through the Brotherhood.
Wow.
I mean, this is on her website. We've made this related so that you can look at. But this is Richard Clark, who testified. This is the counterterrorism czar. I would think that the counterterrorism czar, I think that his statements would be probably credible under both administrations, George W. Bush and President Bill Clinton.
Right.
And that was what he was able to surmise from the information. That was what he was be able to tell. And yet, our government does not want to label the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. These things are important for us to know. They're important for us to be aware of what's happening right in front of us. And we can't walk around with our heads buried in the sand. We have a short video we want you to see. It's about the Muslim Brotherhood 101. It'll give you a little bit more context to who they are. And it still raises the question, why won't the government, why won't the White House declare it as a terrorist organization? Watch this.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion of the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand. Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad.
There you have it. Again, I want to be able to read to you Michelle Bachmann's, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, former presidential candidate's statement that she made available December 18, 2013. This is a year ago, regarding the Muslim Brotherhood. And she writes, in October 2003, the former counterterrorism czar for both President Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, Richard Clark, testified that before the U.S. Senate that virtually every Islamic terrorist organization in the world had in common membership and inspiration from the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood. Not only has virtually every leader of Al-Qaeda passed through the ranks of the Muslim Brotherhood, but several of the 911 hijackers, including ringleader Mohammed Atta, were known to have been radicalized through the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, this is a very serious thing. And when you think about this, you know, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went to Egypt and they tried to broker this, you know, peace deal, and and Morsi was elected, who was a Muslim Brotherhood, you know, representative, and now he became the president. You know, don't forget that the Muslim Brotherhood, reportedly Hamas is their military arm. And they're the ones who, by the way, have attacked Israel with over 10,000 rockets since 2005. And up until this year have recently begun to do the same thing. This has not stopped. And what was interesting in recent remarks by the president of Turkey, Erdogan, and the Washington Post is reporting this, that he just said that women are not equal to men. Women are not equal to men. They shouldn't be in these high positions. And you go, how could anyone support this type of ideology? How could anyone be behind this thing? Listen, keep your eyes on Israel. Don't forget that Hamas reportedly is the military, you know, arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. And they basically do, if you will, the dirty work. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that are positioned there at Gaza. And they're the ones that really want to take Israel out. They're the ones that created these underground tunnels. They're the ones that had a plan, Yom Kippur, to strap bombs on themselves and be able to come up underground in Israel and do, you know, jihad basically on Israelis. We must be aware, we must be alert, we must continue to pray, not only for our country, we must continue to pray for Christians in our country and around the world, and we must continue to pray for Israel, the apple of God's eye. Listen, this is not over, but if we stay vigilant and prayerful, God will continue to give us strategy and wisdom, and He will thwart all the plans of the enemy.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.